It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
I, too, have been here 23 years, and it is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole. So I have that perspective.
And hello again, everyone. A very pleasant good afternoon, and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium for this Week 12 encounter of the AFC East leading New England Patriots and the 6-4 Dallas Cowboys atop the NFC East Division. Brady deep drop, throws across, huddle, caught by Myers on the run to the near side. Gouts to the 40-45, cuts it right across midfield, and then he turns the legs inside the 45 of Dallas, driven down by Thomas at the 43.
Glory hole.
Steps to his left, he goes down the field, up by Edelman, right at the first down marker.
Oh, my
seated
God.
At the 49-yard line.
I want Mason Glory Hill.
Head eye snap to Jones. Oh, under the first block. And he's high in the air. Jonathan Jones is there to knock him down. Trying to pick it up. He'll dive on it. Jones has it for the Patriots at the 13-yard line. The ball came loose in the end, but the Patriots take over nonetheless. After another block punt, the long two high snap on the hand of Prescott. Gathers it inside arms to the near side. Intercepted by Diamond Gilmore. A lazy throw by Prescott.
Nice try.
Picked off by Gilmore in front of Cooper at the Cowboy 29.
A sad, pathetic throw by Prescott.
And now motions to the left as Brady takes the snap. Backs up, looking left. Back shoulder fade for Harry in the end zone. Beautiful throw, terrific catch for his first career score, N'Keal Harry. That's the ball game. New England wins it over the Cowboys 13-9 here at Gillette.
I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole. So I have that perspective.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. We are on Twitch. If you'd like to watch us at twitch.tv, you can download the Twitch app.
That is my all-time favorite. Out of all the weird things Jerry Jones has said, that is my all-time favorite one because of the smile that was on his face afterwards. Like, he had no idea what the term glory hole meant. Unless it's like some old like term they use in a Western for when you struck gold or something back in the 40s.
Or maybe he was nodding to his friends and going, look what I'm going to do today.
You know, I bet it is an old oil drilling term. But I mean, when he just looked at the camera and said, I want me some more glory hole. and just starts smiling, and the crowd starts laughing at him. Like, the press is laughing at him. He's like, it wasn't really very funny. I'm serious. I want glory hole.
All right, so you don't think that there's a chance that he would take a bet from his friends that he could work in glory hole a bunch of times into a conversation?
I don't think he's one of those guys that would take a bet like that. I have a strange feeling. I mean, I know he likes to party, and I know he obviously has a Yosemite Sam type sense of humor, but I don't know. Glory hole has to be some kind of like old oil.
I tried to Google it on these computers; it won't let you.
These computers don't let you do much.
If it's an old oil drilling term, then someone else is going to have to.
Glory hole term: a small furnace, an untidy storage space. I mean, Urban Dictionary. I know what it means in Urban Dictionary. But I mean, just listening to him, just being so.
I've too been here 23 years, and it is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so, having said that, I want me some glory hole. So I have that perspective.
I mean, that is it's the best. And he's like smiling, like, I want me some glory hole.
You know who else, and we're going to cover the game extensively today, but very quickly. So when the game was over, I switched over to the Football Night in America. And Charles Haley was the guy they were talking to. And Charles Haley, if you don't know, there's a book called Boys Will Be Boys. And Charles Haley would masturbate during film sessions. He like went to the bathroom in people's cars.
He's an animal.
Yeah, he's like insane.
Yep.
And he was getting interviewed by the little guy who does hockey. And just Haley, like, grabbing the mic. And,
oh, really?
Like he could snap at any minute.
If you were stuck in an elevator, would you rather have it be with Charles Haley or Bill Romanowski? Because
so Romanowski would just yell and scream. And, like,
I don't know. Romanowski would
Romanowski might break the elevator because he would try to, like, climb out of it. But Haley has that sense of legitimate. Like he could do anything at any moment.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
like he's intimidating. Like after the interview, they're like, good job, like stopping him from completely grabbing the microphone.
Okay, now I need to see this because that guy fascinates me.
Okay, if you don't, it's not going to, like, if you're out there and you're not familiar with Charles Haley's story, it's not going to be like a big deal to you. He's just going to seem overly enthusiastic, but knowing how he is.
Right.
It was crazy. Well,
hung him down with knives. That's a little Romanowski. Yeah, Romanowski liked us. Like, we had him on the show at Super Bowl Radio Row, and he kind of got along with us, even despite the fact that he is a maniac, which made it even a little bit scarier too.
I need some movies.
Damn boar hunters.
He's been in like movies and stuff.
Romanowski was in movies.
He was in The Longest Yard. I
used to do a weekly at another station with Romo, and he was like every week. It's like, oh, so what are we selling this week? You know, and it was. But he used to say that like he used to inject himself with like crazy stuff.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure. There's no question. There's no question. And like, I mean, you look at some of the hits. I mean, obviously, who's the guy that he paralyzed or God, it was the famous
dude's face just right in the middle of a game.
Yeah,
too,
I forget who it was, but I do need to address something, and that is the T-shirt, which is resting on my keyboard here. The old Bankroll Boys official T-shirt, which we're getting
unofficial T-shirt,
which I guess was a huge hit at your very first Bankroll Boys appearance you guys had yesterday.
It was fun.
Now, okay, so it was rainy as hell, and you guys were outdoors. How much did it suck?
It sucked terribly. I do want to thank Ryan Swartz, though, who runs the street team here. We had this little tent, and we're under it first. We start setting up, and, like, it's early. It's, like, 1 o'clock, and so we're, like, really early. And it starts monsooning, and then the tailgaters were like, hey, why don't you guys just, like, come sit with us? They had, like, heaters in the tent. Finally people started coming by. We were right on Route 1, so people were just driving by talking smack the whole entire time. But, yeah, we had about 50, 60 people come by.
Excellent.
We got to hang out, and everybody loves Toucher and Rich, and everyone loves the Bankroll Boys. So.
I tweeted out the photo at the end of the game. There's a photo of the two of them together.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, like, from the down up, so they kind of look intimidating. And I was like, Patriots, undefeated since this photo was taken. They're both wearing the Bankroll Boys shirt, too, which, by the way, it looks like the Bankroll Boys, two Santa Clauses.
It is our faces, I guess.
I guess it is, but I mean, if you told me that was just like a Santa Claus shirt.
They're two young Santa Clauses. It's like before... The gray kicked in. They were able to get that done. Well, yesterday is a game that there's a lot of things that you can talk about, but number one is Gilmore.
He's just he's defensive player of the year. He's got to be into the discussion now.
Oh, certainly. I mean, he took Amari Cooper, who's been fantastic, and they said on the TV yesterday that it was only the third game in his career he's gone without a catch. Gilmore makes a great interception, and then in the end zone, almost makes another one.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're playing man-to-man and it's not even his man.
Well, that's the great thing about him, too, is that, I mean, you could probably go through, and there are, as you were saying, Fred, I bet there's probably five near interceptions, like ones that he like should have had.
Well, they only threw
the
ball to Cooper, what, three times last night?
Well,
and so one dropped on a fourth down.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the big play, is the one that, or after the tripping call, which you see every. Yeah. A lot of times you see two tripping calls in a game.
Did you hear Stephon Gilmore afterwards? I mean, I read the quote. I didn't see him say it, but apparently he was pissed that he almost gave up that one catch at the end that was overturned to Amari Cooper that hit the ground. Like, he was, like, legitimately pissed. That's how competitive this guy is.
Well, yeah, when you're pitching a shutout like that and you know that it's going to be big news the next day, it doesn't sound as good as if he gets one catch, especially in that situation.
Well, what's awesome, too, is that, you know, after the game, there's a lot of great sound bites, but really none better than Mr. Glory Hole himself, Jerry Jones. He was pissed. And this might be the year that Jason Garrett finally gets his walking papers. And like Jerry Jones has, as you know, defended Jason Garrett to the ends of the earth. I mean, bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. But yesterday seemed to be one of the first times that I've heard him basically sending a message.
Well, he's a terrible coach.
He's always made bad decisions.
They made terrible decision on special teams. They made a terrible decision to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Yeah. That was the game.
It mathematically, it didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense at all.
We're in the stands. We don't hear anything. I'm just like, why are they kicking this field goal right now?
No, and it was like an immediate decision by him. And I don't know.
There was one moment yesterday, however, that Bill Belichick just teabagged Jason Garrett. And that was on the punt where Belichick didn't put a guy in the back.
Yes.
And he just put an extra man in the front. And it confused Jason Garrett so much.
Well, their special teams are terrible. Well, what they should have done is they should have snapped it to the punter.
Yeah.
And then it would have been a touchdown.
Sure, if you were a well-coached special teams, then you would have that inkling to do that. But they didn't, and I know Belichick just knew he was watching tape and go, all right, these guys suck, and I bet if we throw this extra man up there, their heads are going to spin, and it worked. Because I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, why is there no one in the backfield? And that's exactly why.
See, I think the Patriots made a mistake, which where they had Burkhead lined up, because they don't want to leave that man open.
From what I was hearing yesterday, that was done on purpose.
Okay, well,
I mean, and if that's the case, because
that's a big mistake
to make, though. Well,
I mean,
to not have someone in the backfield, that's a huge mistake. But that
to have someone covering, not having someone covering the gunner. He could have just thrown the ball out there, and that would have been a touchdown.
But my God, if that is indeed the way that they said it, that was all to plan. That was just Bill Belichick calling Jason Garrett boy.
Well, you would say that the talent certainly the offensive talent favored the Cowboys last night, and Garrett was the reason. A huge reason that they lost that game. All right, we'll talk more about the game. 617-779-0985. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, big win by the Patriots last night.
Yeah, when the number one offense met the number one defense, only one question mattered. Which team had Matthew Slater?
Head eye snap to Jones. Under the first block. Three's high in the air. Jonathan Jones is there to knock it down. Try to pick it up. He'll dive on it. Jones has it for the Patriots at the 13-yard line. The ball squirted at three. And regardless, the Patriots will have possession after another block punt.
How do we feel about tasting the sweet nectar a victory.
That's right. That's all you needed. Yeah. Matthew Slater blocks a punt, turns the game on its head, and goes right into the Hall of Fame as the Patriots win 13-9 over the Dallas Cowboys. The Patriots defense do all the heavy lifting once again as they deny the most prolific offense in the NFL even one touchdown on the day. And thanks to Devin McCourty and his crew, the Cowboys converted just 2 of 13 on third down and were 0 for 2 in the red zone. But one guy, as we were mentioning before, that should start getting consideration for Defensive Player of the Year yesterday did something truly special.
Third and a long two. High snap off the hand of Prescott. Gathers it in, sidearms to the near side. Intercepted by Ivan Gilmore. A lazy throw by Prescott.
Nice chuck.
Picked off by
Prescott.
Gilmore in front of Cooper at the Cowboy 29.
A sad, pathetic throw by Prescott.
By the way, Zolak went nuts yesterday. Like, I mean, you'll hear it in the clips here. Like, he is, I don't know if it was the rain and he was all pent up, or maybe it was because it was like a 4 o'clock game.
It was probably, he had to do something to, because of the how cold it was and
yeah.
everything. He maybe had to fuel himself up in some ways that normally he doesn't.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He was definitely next level yesterday, where Stephon Gilmore had one of the toughest tasks of the game, covering one of the better receivers in Amari Cooper. And before yesterday's game, Cooper had 55 catches for 886 yards and 7 touchdowns. After yesterday, Cooper left Foxborough with 0 to add to those numbers. An absolute lockdown performance by Gilmore. And on the other side of the ball, with Mohamed Sanu and Philip Dorsett out, the young receivers needed to step up, and for the most part, they did.
Edelman now motions to the left as Brady takes the snap. Backs Jules. Up, looking left. Back shoulder fade for Harry in the end zone. Caught it! Touchdown, Patriots! Beautiful throw, terrific catch for his first career score, N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, N'Keal Harry gets his first touchdown as a Patriot, and what an awesome catch it was. The other whippersnapper, Jacoby Myers, he saw 8 targets and caught 4 for 74 yards, including 2 successful third down targets. Not bad. And we finally saw a run game that didn't look like it was dead on arrival.
Hand off to Michelle. Runs it right. First pass to Cody. 45 50. And Michelle is tripped up. Skidding to the 46 of Dallas with a stop by Awuzie.
They actually brought in Marshall Newhouse as the third tight end. So it's a 3 tight end set. They had Lacoste, Watson, and Newhouse in. They just said, we're going to line up and run it right down your throat, right over right tackle.
That is someone very excited about a Sony Michel 17-yard run.
I'll tell you what. I mean, there's no homerism there. People give Jack Edwards some crap. I mean, Zolak is having orgasm.
It's the Zogasm effect. I don't know. Bigger homer, Tommy Heinsohn or Scott Zolak?
Well, I mean, Heinsohn's been in that organization since 1912.
I don't know, man. That's actually a good one. Now, like, as of now?
I just...
Zolak now.
I mean, Zolak now. I mean, just listen to this. Just
hand off to Michelle. Runs it right. First pass to Cody. 45 50. And Michelle is tripped up. Skidding to the 40s.
Plus, I think Heinsohn kind of knows now.
He plays it up a little bit, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm thinking that, like, you know, he knows and he's having fun.
Yeah.
Like, Zolak is legitimately caught up in the game.
Dan called him prison Zo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Sony Michel, 20 carries for 85 yards. His big game, unfortunately, also seemed to highlight for me how missing James White has been lately. With only 21 snaps, that was his fewest all season. He had only 2 carries for 5 yards. He has to be hurt, right?
I think they figured out the screens. Like, the Patriots can't do much offensively, so they're keying him. Like, one play yesterday, Michael Bennett actually just followed James White as a defensive lineman and stopped him for a loss. So I think they can't do anything with the screen. I try to get him more involved in the run game.
But haven't, I mean, don't you think that they would have used him more in the run game? I mean, he only had 21 snaps yesterday.
Maybe there is an injury there. But this is a guy that they don't even play in the preseason. So you might be right. Maybe he is dealing with something.
Or you know, if you're going to play smash-mouth football, you don't exactly want to put James White back there.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, this has been a trend now. As a matter of fact, I'd kind of like to take a look at his yards over the last several games. And you just have to hope that that's the reason and not because of...
I can tell you his yards. He's on my fantasy team.
Okay. I think he's... No, actually...
And as is Amari Cooper, so...
Oh, yeah. I got shut out, too. He's on my fantasy team. Well, despite another non-Brady-like day at the office, finishing 17 of 37 for 190 yards, they get the W. Let's see if Brady's a tiny bit happier this week than he was last week.
Tom, the kill play at the end of the game. Oh, been practicing that for 20 years. What did Novak tell you in the long discussion you had, and why was there a second left on the clock?
I don't know. No, I couldn't figure it out. So I'd never seen that before.
A 7-second hang time on a throw.
It was still up in there when they stopped the clock. So I don't know. right? Everyone who says Patriot gets advantages. We'll know about that.
So at least he's kind of joking out around a little bit.
I don't know if he was joking, but he's got a lot of balls.
Well, you know what?
He's got a lot of balls
for a
to
moment.
Complain about a second when there were two major calls that were complete crap, and I don't care what Pereira said. I mean, the game's the game. It's officiated the way it's officiated. I mean, come on, Tom.
There was a moment where I was like, oh, no, are we about to see the worst of social media? When I guess it was Buck or one of them. I think it might have been Troy Aikman, was commenting that the clock stops when the ball hits something. And if you saw it, when Tom Brady threw it out of bounds, the person that tried to grab it was a member of the military. And they made a comment that, well, if that person wouldn't have touched the ball, then it would have gone down to zero. And I'm like, oh, don't be an a-hole. Mm. Don't go up there and just start killing this poor dude from the military on the salute to service night.
Yeah, the guy figures
a second on the clock.
Yeah, the guy figures, you know, he's out of bounds.
Yeah,
like, the
it's
ball
coming
comes
my way.
To him. Yeah, why not? Like, you know, it's here it comes.
Right.
Well, a lot of people wanted the Patriots to kick the field goal there, obviously.
Yeah.
It would have covered the spread.
Oh, of course.
I mean, I was legitimately there. Not one of those people, by the way.
Well, you had the under, right?
I had the under,
okay,
yeah,
well, that was
way under.
Very smart.
But, yeah, no, people, like, kick the field. But you can't do it in that situation. That's why they didn't kick the field goal. Like, what if it gets blocked or a bad snap with all the weather and everything, and they take it back for a touchdown, and there was still 1 second left for them to make a play?
Isn't that a testament to just how slow Tom Brady is, that he can't run backwards for 5 seconds?
Like Watson did it the other night. He ran backwards and just threw it up in the air.
Right, just run backwards for, like, one extra second and then heave it. And Tom Brady is so slow that he couldn't even do that. But you know, either way, it ended up.
I just think the ball's on that guy to complain about 1 second being left on the clock. I mean, you know, take the win and enjoy it. But if you're going to talk about controversial calls, the 1 second remaining is the least of your worries.
Well, we knew Belichick would be happy because, of course, rock fight. He got up there and complimented his players yesterday.
You know, the ball's wet, your hand's wet, field was a little slick, and the wind was a factor. You know, again, I can't say enough positive things about the way our skilled players handled that. You know, defensively, it's a big challenge tackling, especially against a great back like Elliott or Prescott. I thought we tackled pretty well today, and we, you know, made some plays where they came up short of the first down because we tackled well. So that was it was challenging, but you know, our guys did a good job.
He was talking about Marcus Cannon at one point in his press conference, and I guess that he's been so sick the last couple days. They said that he like barely had the strength to put his uniform on, and Bill Belichick couldn't say enough great things about him, saying that like this guy went out there and just killed it. It's the type of leadership we have. I mean, he went out of his way to praise the play of Marcus Cannon. And we talked about Stephon Gilmore and just how unbelievable he was. And here's the quote that I was mentioning.
Yeah, I want to say that. Just you watch film and you anticipate some things. And sometimes when you're right, you get mad at yourself when you don't make the play. So that's the only thing I can say about today is you can anticipate plays and you know, try to make plays each and every play.
Yeah, so Stephon Gilmore continues to play at a different level. And Michael Bennett, who, of course, returned to Gillette Stadium yesterday, it reports are that he blew off a small group of reporters waiting to interview him. He said, "My family's here. We lost. Thank you." And took off after that. I only remember like one big play.
Just that James White play. That's really it.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was a big play because the Pats were in field goal range on that play.
Yep. That was an excellent play. Well, Jerry Jones afterwards, not a very happy man, extremely frustrated. And as a matter of fact, in this clip, I find it interesting because I think that he, in the same clip, not only craps on Jason Garrett, but it sounds like he kind of craps on Tom Brady in the offense a little bit as well.
Another hot topic. I got it right here.
It is a significant setback for our team. We needed this win. We needed to win against an opponent like this. I'm just really frustrated with I thought we could come up here and really put together a better effort in all three phases. I expect us to play well against them defensively. We got what I think we should have expected out of our defense. But the other phases of the game, we can't come up here and play like that.
What's your confidence level in your coaching staff? It's fair to suggest you could get out coached here. Everybody does. But given
exactly.
some of the criticism you had about different phases of the team and how it's performed.
Exactly. I don't think there's a game that a coaching staff has areas that it couldn't do better in. And I don't like it that we've got so many as I'm standing here tonight.
I'd be furious, too.
I guess there's just been so many games that we've been outcoached.
I think they were the more talented team, the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I thought that all week long, actually. Like, I was actually worried about this game. It was Garrett. Everything that we talked about all week long, Garrett, home field, and just bad decision-making, it all happened.
Yeah.
And the Pats won by special teams and getting a rookie to get a touchdown on a very nice play.
I do think it was funny because I listened to all 10 minutes of Jerry Jones yesterday, and he kind of alluded to it there, but he kind of circled back around. And he said, you know, our defense, we knew he was going to have a good – they were going to have a good game against this offense who have been struggling. So, I mean, he's, you know, obviously calling out the Patriots and what's going on with Tom Brady as of late, but he's right. But I just love that. He goes, you know, every team, you know, you can't really call out the coach too many games. But we've just had so many games that are like that.
Yeah. It was mental mistakes that were that were the difference in that game. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, if you want these Tom Brady rumors to go away, Tom Brady's not letting it go away. He did an interview before the game, and if you are one of those people who's going to get upset if he leaves the Patriots, then you might not want to listen.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, it's heaven on earth, crazy town every day. A couple times a day. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 6:50 for your chance to score 4 passes to a Scotty's Kickoff Kid private event this spring with kickers Steven Gostowski and Scott Zolak, presented by Scotty's Tissue.
They could have used him yesterday.
Scotty's Tissue, the official tissue of the New England Patriots. I heard something about Steven Gostowski. He was getting his hair cut at a, now I don't know if this is true or not, but he was getting his hair cut at a, like a chain haircut place.
Uh-huh.
Very rude.
Steven Gostowski?
Bad tipper.
He's literally the last person on that team I would have thought you would have to worry about. Like, he's been super nice every time we've met him.
Well, he's been super nervous, certainly on the air.
There was a one time where we had him on, and he said, was it 130 times?
Yeah, he was so paranoid, and then that was the last interview. He got, like, a paid interview.
Yeah.
That he was going to do once a week, and he was, and then we saw him afterwards,
and he apologized.
He apologized because he was just crapping his pants so much.
This was right. Was it right when they got Gronk? Because before Gronk showed up, I mean, people freaked out about leaking anything and pissing off Bill Belichick. I mean, it was the most tight-lipped locker room. And then after Gronk showed up, it got a little bit looser. And of course, Aqib Talib shows up, and it gets even looser. But I mean, for a while there, there was fear running through that
especially for
clubhouse.
A kicker.
Well, yeah, for a kicker.
Not to mention the football gate with Brady, right? I mean, wasn't he – he got off the hook with the whole football thing.
Now, this was before that.
Okay.
So, it was before that. So, I mean, as far as that's concerned, I could see how that might make him a little more paranoid. But no. Gostkowski is one of the all-time nice guys that we've met, so that does shock me.
Yeah, that shocks me. Well, I don't know if it's true because I don't know if the person that was mistaken identity, but – they said that he was very rude and that poor tipper. So if he, but this might, this was a while ago, but he was, you would be surprised where he got his haircut.
I sometimes wonder if these people expect more because he's a celebrity.
The person did not know who he was until like at the end. And then, and to put it into terms, Amendola apparently very gregarious and excellent tipper.
Okay. That's good. Maybe it was a bad haircut.
Very possible, but I don't know if you need to be rude.
Oh, well, maybe that is the case. Well, if Tom Brady wanted people to stop asking about whether he's leaving the Patriots, he's not helping the cause. In yesterday's pregame show on Fox, Aaron Andrews sat down with Brady in front of a massive TB12 logo, which I'm sure wasn't part of the agreement for an interview at all. And Andrews asked Brady if he could envision himself playing somewhere else.
Another hot topic the media had a good time with this year. You're basically on a one-year deal, and I know you want to focus on this season, but it's hard not to look ahead. Could you really envision yourself in a different uniform next year?
I don't think it's hard for me, you know, to be in the present. You know, I do think a lot of people want to make predictions.
Yeah, I want to know.
I know, but I think the reality is there is no prediction. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always said I have a plan to play longer.
Yeah.
And I'll figure that out when the time comes.
Would you get a little bit of gratification from proving the doubters wrong? It's clockwork. Oh, he's too old. The arm's not there. Wouldn't you love just a little bit to be like, watch me? 45,
yeah.
Maybe 46.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool to do that. I definitely think there's an inspirational element to that. There's just different challenges. There was challenges when I was young. There's challenges now. And I think just understanding what those are and whether you want to face them or overcome them or take them on, those are healthy things and healthy decisions to have. And when the time's right, you know, make a decision.
I was distracted by his backup dancers during that entire interview.
Yeah, I just love the music. They got to be playing music in the background.
It's almost as if they think we won't pay attention unless there's some sort of to make you turn your head.
Yeah, they let you know that someone's being interviewed by playing music. It's ridiculous.
Now, Tom Brady obviously is the master of saying nothing with a lot of words, but him saying nothing there, I think, says everything. The fact that when he was asked whether he could see himself playing somewhere else and came out and said, well, there's no prediction. I've always said I have a plan to play longer, and I'll figure that out when the time comes. Just says to me that nothing has changed as far as where his mind seems to be this season, with him not signing another contract here or basically having this one-year deal, with him selling his house, with all of the weirdness between him and Robert Kraft on social media. It just seems like there has been nothing to make me think otherwise that he is leaving the door wide open.
Well, the Patriots are going to have to draft a quarterback, obviously, and they're going to have to do it. You don't think so, Murray?
I mean, they like Stidham a lot.
Or sign someone.
Well, I think you still got to draft a kid. I mean, that's how Seattle did it. I mean, they just kept taking shots until they got Russell Wilson. But, I mean, you have to have someone in. And I don't – does anyone here think Brady can play 3 more years in the NFL?
I mean, I think 2 is what he was looking at, right? I think 2 more, isn't that what he's going to be?
I'll say the one thing that Bert said when we had him on Friday was that guys hit a cliff. I mean, do you think he played bad yesterday? Because in the stands, I thought it was more about, like, the rookie receivers.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a bad game.
He didn't play bad.
No.
He just...
So if he had a full, like, healthy offensive line and everything, and, like, you know, and he had Sanu was out there in Dorsett, you know, I think that obviously he probably would have had one more touchdown and maybe 50 to 70 more yards, which is very good. I mean, for a quarterback,
so
that's
he
very
was
good.
Better this week than what we've
yes,
seen.
Yes. I thought yesterday was a pretty decent game, especially with all things considered with who he didn't have. And by the way, Sanu almost played yesterday.
I know, couldn't believe that.
Which is crazy because we were hearing up to 4 weeks and then. The day before, they were saying that he was doing well at practice, and I guess he came out in the couple hours before the game and did a few drills, and then it was a last-second decision to keep him out of the game, which I in the end, I guess, ends up being a good thing.
Well, the thing that Bert said was that some quarterbacks fall off a cliff, and he gave Manning and Favre as examples, but then he also talked about how there's a gradual decline, and everyone can admit that Brady's skill level is declining. His ability to play quarterback is declining. Now, it's certainly still good, but I think the idea that he's going to, like, 2 seasons from now, I mean, if I can bring, I mean, if they like Stidham, I mean, that's his third year in the league. I'd rather play him.
You know what, Fred? I think that this James White situation is really hurting him. I mean, if he is, because James White, almost as much as Edelman over the past couple of years, has been his trapdoor.
It's been like his second best receiver. Really.
Right. He's just been a guy that always is in the right place. And if you need to get out of trouble, James White was always right there. And I think if you take him out of the equation, you know, almost not quite as much as Gronk not being there, but having James White just for that little 4-yard pass, that's really hurt him as well.
Well, I mean, there used to be times where that wouldn't have really bothered him. Nelson, go ahead.
Guys. So that story with Gostkowski getting his hair cut and the guy was rude, I can tell you that's totally false because I get my hair cut with the same guy that he goes to, which is used to be a place in, still there, King's Barber in South Attleboro.
No, that's not where this happened, but go ahead.
Right, but the guy George cuts his hair all the time, and he got his own place now in Foxborough, and when I was over there, there was like 4 or 5 guys ahead of me. And And Steve was kind of in a hurry. He had his kids with him, and he was kind of in a hurry. He says, listen, I'll pay for the guy's haircuts so I can get in there first. So, and he did. That guy's, like, awesome. He would never, like, be a rude guy to anybody. I don't know what
the listen, guy was I about. Wasn't there. I don't confirm nor deny the rumors.
And doesn't that just go to the phrase that if someone's nice to you, like in the service industry, or if you get, you know, one person might find out about it. But if someone's a dick to you, 20 people find out about it.
Yeah, and it, I mean, if you're rich, paying for a bunch of guys so you can go ahead of them. I don't know if that's the...
That's a cool move. Like, if they agree to it, sure. If these people, you know, I think that's an okay trade. If you're sitting there waiting, trade, and if he comes in and he goes, I'm paying for everyone's haircut that's in front of me, I'm in a rush, if I can go in there and do that, I don't think anyone would have a
problem. But it's not entirely charity. I mean, you are receiving something in return. You're kind of wheeling and dealing like a hotshot. I don't like what he did there. All right, Rich, what else is coming up?
Kemba Walker, very scary moment on Friday night. We have a quick update on him.
All right, so we'll be right back.
A little snow in Dallas. Jerry Jones.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're talking to you in Rich. Car number 3 right now at the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We're score 4 passes to Scotty's Kickoff Kid private event this spring with kicker Steven Gostkowski, who is very, very nice. I just heard the thing about the tip. And Scott Zolak is buried by Scotty's Tissues, the official tissue of the New England Patriots.
Well, a very scary moment on Friday night with Kemba Walker.
Murray takes the handoff back from Jokic, blows by Kemba, but the bounce pass back anticipated and stolen by Kemba, who crumples in the heat. Kemba is down, and Brad Stevens has to call the timeout.
I wonder, did he hit his head on somebody's knee?
He started to go down like that. It didn't look like his legs went out from under him as much as it was a collision up high, and he immediately went down. Kemba is down almost in like a sleeping position. His eyes are sort of closed as he listens.
His head went right into the stomach of Williams. That's what happened.
Yeah, it was into Ogilvy. They're going to bring the stretcher on the floor for Kemba Walker.
Yeah, that was scary. He was taken off the court on a stretcher after colliding with Semi Ogilvy. However, the news was about as good as one could hope afterwards. According to the Celtics, Kemba is listed doubtful for tonight's game against Sacramento with a neck sprain. He remains under evaluation, and further updates are going to be provided by the team as they get them. But from what a lot of the people who cover the team are saying is that this is something that they're not going to have to worry about. I think that Marcus Smart, after the game, had mentioned that Kemba Walker had been dealing with, I guess, a hit to the head from the preseason. What was the tournament they played in? The one in China?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they went over there.
Yeah,
so,
USA.
Yeah, Team USA. Mm-hmm. I guess he got hit in the head hard there, which I didn't know about. And he'd kind of been dealing with that as well. So they're going to keep an eye on him. But apparently this is, I mean, you see a guy leave on a stretcher, mm-hmm. You immediately think spine, neck. And I guess he's more than likely going to be okay.
Yeah. He's going to practice that. I doubt he plays tonight. He's listed as doubtful. But just think about these young kids, man. Like, what they've been doing. Like, they've seen the Gordon Hayward thing, right? Tatum and Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And now they go through this and they have the Kyrie thing. Like, just the game itself was interesting because they came back and they fought. But, like, the fact of what they've seen, like, between some of the stars and they continue to just develop and fight through it. They almost pulled out the game as well.
Well, this was a interesting clip from Brad Stevens afterwards. Because, as you said, after Kemba Walker went down, they fought back and they played their asses off, not knowing what was going on with Kemba Walker. And I heard this clip, and the first thing I thought was, would he have ever said this about last year's team? Here's Brad Stevens.
You know, I just told the team just now, there's a lot of things we could do better. I thought that we, you know, all tried things maybe outside of our strength at times, and that's not how you win when guys are out. You win by doing everything a little bit harder and a little bit better, and then you saw that at the end of the game. And I told the new guys who are showing signs of this, but I told them, the guys that are holdovers here, those dudes are warriors. To come back in that game on the last day of a trip after seeing Kemba go down in Denver against that team and give us a chance to win, they're warriors.
That's a guy that is as measured in his responses as you can as a coach. He does not like over-praising any of the guys on his team. He does not like overvaluing wins or even, you know, over just not making losses to be as big of a deal as they are. And for him to say that, that's a guy who loves his team and loves the guys that he has right now. And he would have never said that about the team last year. That's the number one thing I took out of that game was that. And it doesn't even seem like he's disappointed with the 2-3 road trip. I mean, it sucks. You're at the point where you can't be looking at the Celtics. Like, if you truly believe they are who we think they are, you can't be looking at the Celtics and giving them brownie points. Like, they need to be winning games. But that Clippers game, right down to the wire. And that was the first game that you had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. You know, the Denver game, it sucks. If they had Kemba, would they have won it?
And
possibly.
They were down almost by 20 at one point.
Yeah, they were. And they don't need to be doing that. And they've been kind of getting in a little bit of trouble like that as well. And I think if you total the points that they lost in all three of those losses, it's 8. I heard a lot of people giving them a ton of credit. That game I'll give them credit for, because that's scary as hell when you have a teammate do that and you can rally back like that. But, I mean, you got to start winning games. You know, 2 out of 3 on the road trip probably isn't the best look, especially for a team that we think now, and maybe we've all been kind of, you know, getting a little ahead of ourselves, but, you know, if this team, there's a chance that they could be a championship contender. Mm-hmm. There is, especially when you look at the rest of the East.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate they're going to have to take on Kyrie this week.
Well, you heard about Kyrie, right?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so Kyrie, unfortunately, is not going to be able to make it. We should play the Paul Pierce stuff in a little bit. Paul Pierce, you know, heard our Danny Ainge clip.
But did they reference the show at all?
I don't know.
Because, I don't think so.
Because all the articles have done a good job. I'll give them that. Like, they have said Touch and Rich. The only person who never says Touch and Rich is Adam Kaufman. He always says the Sports Hub. Never says Touch
and
Rich.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what you get for the Kowloon crew. exposing that the Kowloon crew did not like him.
He thinks we chose a side, and we chose, you know, the Kowloon crew.
I think also because I was fascinated with just how boring he was on the air. That also...
Maybe he's right for that. Maybe it's okay for him to be a dick.
I don't care. Who does he even write for?
I don't know, but every time there's a tweet... But he gets retweeted, like, a ton of times. It'll be, like, news that we break on the show. According to 98.5 The Sports,
well, album, I can't help it. I mean, I can only be honest. And Matt Kaufman is not a good radio personality.
Adam Kaufman. Hey, I don't know who Matt Kaufman is, but...
Well, that just shows you. Okay. He's like a nice mashed potato sandwich with mayo and white. He's just...
Not going to give us any credit anymore now, well, thanks to you.
Well, that's a shame. I really wish I could get that credit. All right, well, yesterday they had Rob Gronkowski. He was in studio with the people on Fox. By the way, how did NBC or CBS get the Carolina Saints game? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, NFC, that's weird.
Yeah, that is weird. I thought that was very odd. I was wondering why they weren't showing the Jets Raiders.
That game ruled, by the way. That Saints Carolina game?
Yes.
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, Sean Payton was very happy afterwards.
Well, it almost would have been like one of the funniest endings ever, because, you know, there was an offensive pass interference that wasn't called just like last year, and it was challenged by the Panthers, and it won. And they ended up calling pass interference on it. So on the wrong side of two of those, the non-challenge, and you couldn't challenge last year, and then this one.
Yeah. So. All right. So we will play you, Rob Gronkowski, in case you were at the game yesterday or you missed halftime. No commercials here, just the headlines. It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The cat sat on the mat. Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.